Welcome to Caloundra, if you're a visitor. It's great to have you with us this morning. And there'll be a cup of tea and coffee afterwards where we'd just love to meet you. Pastor Gordon, Sarah and the children are away for a week, but they'll be back next weekend. And as it's school holidays, children, there is no epic, but parents feel free to go up to the room upstairs there, set up a DVD if you wish in the epic room and take one of the DVDs out of the cupboard. Obviously, you just need to supervise the kids and don't let them have a play with the gear themselves. Now, each week we give opportunity for people to bring tithes and offerings, and there are three ways. Online seems to be becoming the most popular. We've got boxes at the back, and we also give people an opportunity to give in the bags. So if those who are got the bags this morning could do that. And while you're passing those around, just want to highlight what's happening on the big weekend at Christmas. It's picking me up. Doesn't matter, I've got a big voice. So Christmas, next Sunday will be a normal service in the morning, 9:30. In the evening, we're going to have a 9 p.m. service, a candlelight service here. What's wrong, guys? Have I not switched myself on? Okay. Technology. Okay, so where was I? 9 p.m. next Sunday night, candlelight service here. Great opportunity to bring your neighbours and friends and relatives. Great opportunity for them to come into the spirit of the true spirit of Christmas and to enjoy a worship time with us. And then on Christmas Day, the service will be 9 a.m. So half an hour earlier than our normal service, 9 a.m. So 9 p.m. Christmas Eve, 9 a.m. On Christmas morning. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for all your goodness to us. We thank you for the way you have blessed us here as a congregation, blessed the college, and Lord, blessed us individually over many years. Father, we thank you for the ability to be able to bring our tithes and offerings, and Lord, just dedicate them to you, that Lord, you might give wisdom to those that have responsibility, that Lord, it would be used wisely to extend your kingdom in this place and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start this morning with a reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognise him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. And seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what that had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who had heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. What joy there was in the hearts of those that were touched by the coming of Jesus that night so long ago. What rejoicing in heaven, including the angels and the hosts of heaven, as they celebrated Emmanuel, God with us. But how should we apply that in our lives in everyday 21st century Australia? During this week, I met a couple who shared a story with me. About 20 years ago, John and his wife went on a journey of discovery. They wanted to discover themselves and their purpose in life. They travelled much of the world before arriving in Bolivia, a small landlocked country in the middle of South America. If you don't know where it is, you can look it up on a map later. In the city of Cochabamba, they went to a currency exchange. They asked the person serving them at the exchange where they could learn Spanish. It's the trade language used in Bolivia. Recognising them as Australians, the gentleman said, "Ah, there's an Australian lady living here in Cochabamba. She'll help you." And he took them to her house. In conversation with the lady, a missionary then of some 30 years, they discovered that they were all from Brisbane. Further, this Aussie lady knew John's mother, who was one of her prayer partners and a financial supporter. John and his wife were assisted with accommodation, learning Spanish, and a few weeks later, out of deference to her for all the assistance she had rendered, they went to church with her. That day, John and his wife had their eyes opened to the truth of the gospel, and they became disciples of Christ. The Brisbane missionary was my sister. The occasion, her Brisbane memorial service. John's mother prayed faithfully for John, and God answered her prayer with divine intervention. What rejoicing there would have been in her heart when she heard the news, and rejoicing in heaven over lost sheep brought into newness of life. What an encouragement and joy this testimony has brought to many, many people. That God is the same God of miracles today, just as he was over 2,000 years ago, when through a miraculous series of events, a child was born, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. John and his wife sought to find themselves. Instead, they found Jesus Christ, a relationship and a life-changing experience they could not have imagined. They continue to live for Christ and spread the joy of his salvation today. Both John's mother and Phoebe may have gone to be with Christ, but their testimony lives on. Phoebe suffered for Christ in her 53 years of service in Bolivia. She was rejected by many, robbed many times, knocked down in the street, suffered deprivations of many types. Not being perfect, she also made many wrong decisions that cost her deeply. Still, near the end of her life, she wrote these words, "Rejoicing in the truth and sustained by his love and peace, I know that my God reigns and he holds the key to the future. And he will show us his plan step by step. His grace abounds." Through it all, she knew Jesus' joy and peace. What is joy? Well, one dictionary says an emotion evoked by well-being, success or good, a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. But is this what the Bible means when it speaks of joy? Well, sometimes, yes. I'm sure that night Jesus was born, the angels and the hosts of heaven knew that joy, as did Mary and Joseph, the shepherds and others. But Jesus gives us a greater, deeper joy when we know him, when our life is to him and his service. No matter what our life circumstances, joy, particularly Jesus' joy, cannot be forced, fabricated, or faked. It is not reliant on circumstance. That deep, satisfying joy must be intentionally sought. It can only be found by a close walk with Christ. On July 30th, 1967, a teenage girl went with her sister to the beach. There she suffered a diving accident that rendered her a quadriplegic. Following her accident, she retched at the thought of living life without a working body. She says, "I hated my paralysis so much I would drive my power wheelchair into walls repeatedly, banging them until they cracked. Early on, I found dark companions who helped me numb my depression with scotch and cola. I just wanted to disappear. I wanted to die." Today, Johnny Erickson Tada is a strong Christian leader who heads up an international ministry, advocates for those with disabilities, and is a sought-after speaker, best-selling author, singer, and radio host. What a difference time makes, but more importantly, prayer, Christ-centered friends, and a deep study of God's word. Johnny says, "I began to see that there was more important things in life than walking and having use of your hands. It sounds incredible, but I would rather be in this wheelchair, knowing Jesus as I do, than be on my feet without him." What a powerful statement from someone who's not only been in a wheelchair for 50 years, with all the indignity that brings, but lives with daily chronic pain, has also battled stage 3 cancer, breast cancer. Still, 50 years on, she says, I would really rather be in this wheelchair knowing Jesus as I do than be on my feet without him.
I've had many tears and sorrow. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation. Let my trials come to only make me strong. Well, I've been a lot of places, and I've seen millions of faces, but there were times I still felt all alone. In those lonely hours, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know I was his own. Trust in God through it all, yeah. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. And so I thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys, and I thank him for the storms he brought me through. You know, if I never had any problems, I guess I wouldn't know God could solve them. Wouldn't know what faith in God's word could do. Trust in God. His word.
I've learned to depend on his word. But do we? Do we depend on his word? Do we really believe and trust in the word of God when it counts? And when times are really good. That's often when we forget, isn't it? To depend on his word. Without dependence on Christ our Saviour and the word of God, without a relational experience in prayer with him, we can never know the reality of Jesus' joy in our lives, a joy that shines through, a joy that must be renewed by a daily walk with Jesus and the application of his word in our lives, relying on the Holy Spirit to guide us through life's highs and lows. When we have this joy, it shows through on our faces and in our actions. How we live day by day should be an example of Christ in us and his joy shining through. The question to us today is, do we really have that Jesus joy in our lives? Or do we struggle and find that we're only rejoicing in Christ when things are going well? It's only natural for us to be sad when grieving, hurt, or lonely. Natural happiness and joy disappears at such times. But it is then that our understanding of his word, a close prayerful walk with Christ, underpins us spiritually and emotionally. It is at such times our faith is strengthened and we can remain strong. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Now I want to make it clear for you, brothers and sisters, the gospel that I preached to you, that you received, and on which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I passed on to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. The core of God's plan is to rescue us from sin and self and to keep rescuing us. And whether we have been a follower of Christ for a long time or a short time, he wants us to be people of faith who rejoice every day in him because of our risen, glorious Saviour. Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." John 10:10. It's worth us asking the question, are we that person today that Jesus wants us to be? Do we know Jesus' joy in our life no matter what? He wants us to live victoriously in the abundance of his love and grace. Music team, would you like to come up, please? And look, if you haven't started on the journey of being a disciple, a follower of Christ, not ever come to him in repentance and entered into a personal relationship with him, there's no better day than today. If you would like to talk to someone about this further, whether you're a Christian that would like to seek a deeper relationship with him or someone who is searching, then we'd love to have an opportunity to pray with you. There'll be folks down the front here. Just come and meet with them whilst we sing, and they would love to pray with you. God gives us great opportunities. He gives us opportunities right through our life, whether to meet us in a town 9,000 feet in the Andes or to meet in Caloundra. He wants to meet us here today.
In the quiet. that you are God in the secret of your presence. I know there I am restored. When you call, I won't refuse. Each new day again I'll choose. There is no one else for me, none but Jesus, crucified to save.
Father, your grace is sufficient. We just thank and praise you for your great mercy, for the miraculous birth so long ago, and Lord, for the joy we can have in our lives now and as we look forward to your return. Father, go with us as we go into this week and as we prepare for the celebration of your birth next weekend. Lord, we just pray that you would be close to us, speak to us, prompt us, that we might know your joy and we might know joy in your service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have a lovely week, everyone. do